way. But the world system teaches that through governments and institutions. And by the way, the man of sin is going to bring that about eventually when the church is gone. But here you have the wisdom of the world is that all of these things will cause a man to mature. The evil age uses the platform that man through disputation, debate, and argument can mature and grow unto a form of godliness, which is gain. And then God's wisdom is the cross. Boy, there's so much we need to close, but the cross, the gospel, is key to every aspect of your salvation. You think about it. Think about that one. We've been discussing that, Steve Seibel and I. The fact that Christ died, buried, and rose again. That gospel has absolutely essential for initial salvation. It's in your thinking for present tense salvation. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's related to the gospel. And our future tense salvation, who am I going to be like? Christ. On what basis? Because of the gospel. So the gospel has ramifications in every tense of salvation. It's essential. And that's the wisdom of God that it says in Corinthians. It's that Paul says, I'm going to revel in the cross of Christ. So God's wisdom is that a man matures through the Pauline mysteries that he reveals in the New Testament, and it's related to the cross of Christ. That cross where he died and rose and presented his sacrifice to the Father, represented by his blood, and the Father accepted it. And then it's applied to us when we're baptized into Christ. That's the wisdom of God. And when I live in Christ, I mature. So the love concerning the Father when you love the world is not in him, because the Father's wisdom is that through the New Testament grace revelation and the Pauline mysteries, that through these things that are revealed, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, through those things, as the cross of Christ, we can live godly and we can mature as we live in our position in Christ and allow God to do the work. And that is absolutely contrary to the world system that works by legalism and uses the knowledge of the age that godliness is gain and that there's no absolutes and we can discuss and argue and debate. And if you're loving the world system and you're using the latest fads that are coming through to try to build up other believers, then you're not loving concerning the Father. Because the Father wants Christians to mature his way, where they're going to mature in spirit and truth so that they can come back then and worship him. And when you're loving the world, that's not going to come about. They're not going to grow. They're not going to mature where they can worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the world system's methods and means are for Satan, and it's for the glorification of Satan, for his children. And when you're loving the world, you're appealing to the wrong people. You're appealing to Satan's children. That's who it was designed for. And you're appealing to use methods that are designed for unsaved people, not for Christians. God has for Christians his wisdom, his way. And that will not change through the age. Okay. It's pretty close to a quarter after when I wanted to start, and it's a couple minutes over. But I said I'd let you ask some questions. Plus, I'm running out of steam, so that's good. Okay, but that doesn't mean I'll try to answer your questions. Some of the answers may be I don't know. Okay, and I'm not afraid to say that. Any questions? Did I scare you? Or were I bored you to death while I was sleeping? We didn't cover all I anticipated, but we covered quite a bit. I could ask you questions. How do you love the Lord? Huh? Amen. How do we love the Lord?
Enduring temptation.
Okay, loving his appearing.
I have a question.
Okay.
In John 14, Jesus Christ says that the one loving me keeps my commandments, and the one loving me keeps his word. Now, in light of what we were looking at the other things, then, in that instance, as the idea expands, if I'm understanding this right, we would, in that case, keep the commandment or guard the commandment to love other believers by having victory. We'd be having victory for the benefit of other saints.
That's right. It would have to do with that agonizing, the good agony. We're going to make sure, we're going to love other believers by making sure that we're utilizing the faith in our own life. If we, it's like where Paul says that I preach to others and then I myself am a castaway. In other words, I'm telling everybody else what to do, but I don't implement it my own self. And so the way you agonize the good agony would be keeping that commandment by loving other believers, by making sure that you agonize the good agony by what? Utilizing the faith yourself as an example to others that they can see the faith being lived out through you. That's the way I see that. But I also would love, keep the commandments are also used. I didn't cover this either. There's a whole lot I didn't cover. I didn't tell you all I didn't cover. I have sheets up here of their error, of all of in 1 John, all the different errors. I also have notes in these different books that I've studied of the different commandments, and that's something you can do. Because in 1 John, he relates the commandment, the new commandment of Christ, to the Father.
And that's a question you have to answer. Why is the new commandment of 1334 described as the Father's commandment in one place, and then the Father's commandments in the other place? And then why does he say that it's his commandment to believe in his Son, and then to keep his commandments? These are all questions you need to ask. It's really simple, but it's good. The commandment, the new commandment of John 13:34, was given to Christ by the Father. He says that in the Upper Room Discourse. He says, this commandment I have received of my Father. So he did receive the new commandment from the Father, and it is his commandment because he gave it to the church. Now, it's also spoken about in the singular and the plural because it's implemented in different ways. And so through the Upper Room Discourse, it's the same commandment, but how it's implemented is in different ways that you can do it and love other people. So if you look at it, at the ways that it's implemented, it's plural commandments, but yet it's really just one commandment to love one another. But how it's implemented and actually practiced can be in many different ways, but it's still one commandment to love one another, and it ultimately came from the Father as the ultimate source. And why do you have to believe in his Son? Well, believing in his Son is how you implement that commandment. You believe in the Son, first of all, to be saved, but you believe in present tense salvation so you can manifest eternal life. And that's what he's really talking about. And that's the will of the Father, is that you believe in the Son, you're manifesting eternal life, and then you're fulfilling the commandment of love, which can be implemented in commandments, different ways.
Similar vein, in 1 Timothy 6:12, he talks about, I have kept the faith, they rattle there, but guarded it.
Guarded it.
And it's the same thing, Jesus says that same thing about guarding my command. So I think we were...
You don't add to it, you don't subtract to it, you keep its focus that this is the commandments of the church. That's right, because everybody wants to put all these legalistic standards on us, and we only have one commandment, and that's to love.
Or they want us to love the Lord.
Or love...
Or...
I didn't do this either. Look at how the word world is used in 1 John, and it's always used of the world system related to unsaved people. Always. I checked it out. Always.
It's not just the world system as some independent thing out there. In 1 John, it's always associated with people that are unsaved.
So, again, if you're not guarding the commandment, then you're beginning to love the world system, then you're beginning to love a system that's designed for unsaved people, which I kind of mentioned at the end. So you're loving the wrong object. you're to love other believers, not the lost.
Good question. I hope I'm answering them correctly. Any others?
Come on, Tim, you got a whole sheet there.
When I wrote them down, I thought they were real clear.
Let him figure out. Anybody else have a
question?
Yeah.
I had a question. In back in 1 John 1, 7, early in the morning, and it has to do with walking in the light.
Okay, ordering the activities.
And I'm trying to figure out what I meant by that. 1, 7, I wrote down, this 1, 7, walking in the light, that love. Talking about walking in light, and he ends up talking about this. Is he emphasizing that this is kind of what I've understood in 1 John, that he starts with life and ends with life, and in between he's dealing with this issue of love among the brothers. And love is
an action.
Like a primary way of displaying that life and activity.
That's correct.
Am I getting
that? That's correct.
Okay. So I kind of understood that way, but I'm just in light of what we're looking at.
So this is life and activity. You want a little more in there that I didn't tell you? Where are we light?
Where are we light in Ephesians? In the Lord. So what life and activity is this talking about? It's where we're light. We're light in the Lord. So as we live in our position in Christ and are living our life and activities based upon that position in Christ, then that's related to this. So we're light in the Lord. So when we walk in the light, we're ordering the activities of our light in the light. We're light in our position in Christ. When we're seen in that position and we're actually ordering the life down here in activities based upon that position that's up in here, then we're having fellowship with the Father. Now it says when we walk in the light similar to, doesn't say identical. When we walk in the light as similar as he walks in the light, because we never can order the activities of our life exactly as God orders the activities of life. But we can order our life in a similar way as he is in the light. How? By living out in our position in such a way that our position that we're reckoning to be true and bringing our mind into harmony to with that position actually is related to our practice down here. So we're actually living as one who is blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're actually living down here as one who has privilege. We're actually living down here as a priest of God who can communicate directly to the Father without closing off. We live down here as a priest who's offering spiritual sacrifices. And this opens up a whole nother ball of waxes, which I'm preaching on right now down in wherever I am, Salem right now, is you're not going to do those things unless you restrict your mind, which brings a whole nother study on phreneo. And you take phreneo and you look at how much that word is used in the New Testament. It's tremendous. It's hidden a lot, but it means to restrict your mind and reflect upon this. And it has to do with every aspect of your life. It has to do with the sacrifices of a priest. It has to do with offerings in the church. It has to do with filling good works. It has to do with everything. In other words, you have to restrict your mind to those things and bounce it around in your mind, or it just ain't going to happen. And that has to do with this walking in the light, too. But he's emphasizing living in a position here, and those guys weren't doing it, and they weren't living in the position where they were directing the life in love, and I think that's what the fathers had done. I think the fathers were even guilty of that, because if they really agape'd the other believers, they would have sacrificed their own selves, even if they got nothing back in return, and even if everybody else would have thought they were bad guys. And I think that's what it is. They didn't want to be the bad guy. And if they were the bad guy, they would have had to disrupt the local church and kick them out. So who wants to be the bad guy? Nobody wants to be the bad guy, so the fathers just let it go. When they should have stepped in, kicked those guys out, and then used the agape love to strengthen the paideia and the young men. But even after John kicked them out, they still aren't doing it. And so he says, hey, I want you to come over here because you're not ordering the activities of your life and manifesting eternal life through agape love in every aspect. You're being selective. The fathers were being selective on who, how and when they would love the other brethren. Okay, it's almost 4:30. Any other questions? I think we were supposed to end at 4:30. That's what I had heard. Oh, did somebody hear different, like at 3? No. Okay, Lord willing, if you still want me, I'll be back tomorrow, but I'm going to speak on a different subject. I'm going to speak on the judgments of Christ in an overview. We can't study in detail, but it's a fun study. And we'll look at an overview of the many different...